with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll be reading a few verses here. And I'm glad this morning that there are some things that we can know. There's a lot of things I don't know, a lot of things you don't know. It would surprise us if some of the things that we do not know, what Brother Gallagher shared there in Sunday school, I had no idea that's going on in our country. Had no idea that's going on in churches. For the most part, not everywhere, thank the Lord. I'm glad there is that faithful few. There's always been that faithful group that stays true to the Lord, but I can't imagine some of the things that we hear about that go under the disguise of religion and using the name Jesus and using religious terms. I don't know all those things going on. I'm probably glad I don't. But I do know some things for sure, and I'm glad I do because I have a scripture that reveals these things to us. I'm glad I can know His gospel. Praise the Lord for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, Paul said he wasn't ashamed of that gospel. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes. Every person that will come to the Lord believing, they'll understand the power of the gospel. And if they truly get born again, then they'll not be ashamed of what they have. Something that's real, something we can grab a hold of by our faith, and that one day we shall see with our spiritual eyes. I'm glad I not only know the gospel, but I'm glad I know Him. And because the gospel is Him. Really, you can't separate the gospel and Jesus Christ, for they are one and the same. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, and I have it written down here to read, but I'll just pass on that. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says that I may know Him and the resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. That's a strange verse. I don't want fellowship of suffering. But Paul said, I know Him. I don't want to know about Him. I know Him and the fellowship of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad there's some things we can know. We can have assurance in our heart. And those are the two main things, the gospel and Jesus. You know those things. You've got life eternal. You've got something that's going to endure the process of time in our lives. Somebody said the other day, said, boy, the time's really taking a toll on my body. Well, it takes a toll on all of our bodies because we wear down, we wear out. But there's a time coming, praise the Lord, we're going to be just like Him because we know Him. Now, this morning in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, read one of my favorite passages of the Scripture, and especially the one verse that we'll deal with this morning. But in verse number 7, Paul writes to this young preacher, Timothy, and we've used this so many times. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore." That word therefore connects it back to verse 7. Because we have the spirit of power, we have love, we have a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. Paul says, don't be ashamed of the Lord. And Paul said, don't be ashamed of me. He said, I'm undergoing a lot of things, but don't be ashamed of me. Don't be apprehensive of me because I'm just following the Lord. He said, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. That's very closely related to where there in Philippians. He talks about the suffering of having fellowship of His sufferings. In verse number 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, because, he says, it really doesn't matter, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I am persuaded, I know, I have an understanding, a knowledge in my heart that everything I've committed to the Lord is going to be kept safe. I'm glad this morning, years ago in my life, I committed my soul to the Lord. You know what? It's safe. And one day he's going to deliver me there, and he's going to deliver me safely. I may have trials and testings and problems in this life like everybody does, because man that is born of woman is of a few days full of trouble, Job says. And so we face the issues of life, but we're going to be delivered one day safely in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm persuaded of that. Paul said, I know that with the depth of my soul. He says that we have, when he opens the book here of 2 Timothy, he uses three words that are very important as he gives this letter to this young preacher. He, in verse number 2, he uses the word grace, he uses the word mercy, and the word peace. Now you can make a message out of those three, or you can make three messages out of those words: the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the peace of God. I heard someone say sometime, I wrote it down here, it is excellent saying, grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. That's what grace is. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. If it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, we'd be in trouble this morning. We of all men would be, of people would be miserable, because if he gave us what we deserve, we'd already be out of this life and we'd be in eternity. But through his mercy, he does not give us what we really deserve. But peace is God giving us what we desire. I don't know of a Christian living today that does not desire to have peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of life, just having that peace that passes all understanding, and God gives us that. And Paul, as he writes this second letter to this young preacher, Timothy, he encourages him with the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the peace of God. And then he goes on in these verses and explains to him no longer has to be ashamed, should not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and that we have no reason to fear, because he has given us a sound mind. He has given us a spiritual walk. He has given us some things that are to us that are, because of the power of God and the love of God, we walk spiritually before men and before him. So today I want us to just look primarily at verse number 12. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know. Thank God this morning, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. I'm sure this today that if I'd ask how many of you know that you know for sure that if you was to die this very moment, you'd end up in heaven immediately, probably every hand in this auditorium would go up. If you could not raise or would not be able to raise your hand to that, you ought to change that before the day's over, because we can know that we have eternal life, that we can know that we have eternity before us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says over and over again, I'm not ashamed. Paul was a very educated man. Paul was a very religious man before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he had moved his position from a high authority in the in the Jews' religion to now being looked down upon by the Jews because he was a follower of Jesus Christ, a preacher of the gospel, and he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He lists those things even here this morning as we read. He says he's been given those things, been made manifest that he's given that. He says in verse 11 that he's appointed as a preacher. That's first and foremost. He's an apostle. He's been appointed that, and now he's a teacher of the Gentiles. He is a well-rounded minister in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm not ashamed of what the Lord has done. You know, this morning, there must be some people around that say they're Christians, but they must be ashamed to name the name of Christ because they don't do too much about that. They must be ashamed of the Lord and what he stands for and what he's done. There must be some folks this morning that are ashamed of the local church because they never show up. They never go. They're not involved in the work of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, as a believer, we are not ashamed of those those things. We have a family this morning. We have a gathering today of a spiritual group of people that are saved by the grace of God, and we ought not to be ashamed of the ministry that God has given to each of us. We are peculiar. We are different. We are separated from the world. We've been put in a kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a heavenly Father, and therefore we ought to realize we have a book that has been preserved and given to us that gives us our orders and gives us our standing, gives us our way of life, that we can follow him and can have life together. We ought not to be ashamed that we're different. I know a lot of times I hear people say, well, I don't want my children to be any different. You better want your children to be a little bit different from this world. This world has nothing to offer. This world has nothing good. From the years that we have, as a country, we've turned our back upon the Lord, we don't see any good results from that. We don't see any good things that come from turning away from God. And so we need to make sure our children, our grandchildren, are a little different than what the world expects them to be. They ought to be Christians in name and deed and action and the way of life. And so we ought not to be ashamed of that because we're living in a very wicked and evil world that is present before us. I mentioned this Wednesday night, but last Sunday night I made a statement that a lot of times I get up on the next morning just to see who's killed who. And I got up on Monday morning and I did exactly that, and how shocked I was to finally come up to the realization that 58 or 9 people had been slaughtered there and just for no reason. They can't even find a motive. They can't even find a reason. One fellow said this morning, said the only reason that is really ought to be talked about, he just wanted to kill somebody, and that's the reason he did it. Now, there may be some underlying things, but he was just a wicked individual, and he's no different than a lot of people that many times we may brush arms with in our walk of life. And so our world is evil, and it's present before us every day. And so therefore we need to look different. We need to be different. We need to act different. We need to talk different. We need to have our lifestyle not like the world, but be to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to not be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said that over and over again, that not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And really ought not to be ashamed that we can be a friend to sinners to lead them to the Lord Jesus. So this morning, I thank the Lord. There's some things that I know, and there's some things that I can deal with. I like Paul, can say, I know whom I have believed. I have no problem understanding whom I have believed in. It is the Lord of glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now to be following him and the direction that he gives to us, and that we are to observe those things that he commands and follow in the pathway that the Lord gives to us. Paul said, I'm persuaded these things are given to us. He said, I know and I'm whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able. Thank God this morning, he is able. Every problem we have, he's able to take care of that. As I said a moment ago when we were singing, everything that we need, he has the fulfillment of that in life and in eternity. So this morning, I'm glad I can say I know whom I have believed, but I also know what I believe. And that comes from the knowledge of the Scripture, a knowledge of the Word of God. Our text says, I know whom I have believed. And Paul says before that, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm glad this today that we realize the world primarily is a denier of Jesus Christ. And they want us to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. True believer will never deny him. They'll never turn their back. They'll never reject him. But the world has ways and pressures to make us a little bit apprehensive. And we might be a little bit ashamed of what the world thinks about us. And sometimes we have difficulty dealing with people. And so the world, they deny him. They reject him. They have nothing to do with him. And they want us to get as close to them as we can. And we're just ashamed. And so therefore, we do nothing, say nothing, and amount to nothing for the Lord. I don't think Paul had that understanding about life. He said, I'm persuaded. And Paul used that term, that word, a number of times also. He said, I'm persuaded neither death, life, principalities, powers, none of those things are going to separate us from the love of God. Paul was totally convinced that God was able. He was totally convinced that he was going to, what the Lord had told him he would do for him. When Paul was on the road and on the way to Rome, there in that ship, there in Acts chapter 26, 27 through there, and the ship wrecks and the ship goes down, Paul had already been with the Lord, and Paul had already heard the Lord tell him, you will go to Rome. So Paul had the assurance in his heart. He said, men and brethren, be not afraid, for I've been with the Lord. I belong to him, and I've been with him. And he's told me there's not going to be any loss of life, just the ship. And you know what had happened? Just like the Lord told Paul. And Paul ends up in Rome, not as he wanted to go, not as he wanted to be. His desire was to go to Rome in the latter part of his life. And he went there, but he went as a prisoner. But he went there, and we have the messages from those prison cells of what tremendous work that God did in his heart. And so Paul tells us here, I'm not ashamed. And he said, I know whom I have believed and persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So I want us to just sort of break down those phrases and those words a little bit and just notice, and I've probably done this before, but we need sometimes to hear again and again the importance of what God tells us in his word. I'm glad this morning that salvation is a very personal thing. I was raised in a Christian home. You've heard my family, my testimony of that. We went to church. If the church opened, I believe my dad would have gone to church at midnight if they said that's when we need to meet. I believe he just would have done that. And we went to church whenever we were supposed to be there. And so I was raised in a godly home, a Christian home, and I was raised in a faithful home. And we have certain things given to us because of that. But I'm going to heaven this morning because I personally one day trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not going to heaven because I was raised in a Christian home. That helped a lot. That gives me a pretty good start and gives me an understanding, maybe more than some others did at the same age. But I'm not going to heaven. I'm not a Christian this morning because my dad and mother were. It's not a household thing that way. It is a personal message that we get from the Lord. It's a personal, I've used this term, it's a personal encounter that we have with God. And you meet the Lord, you're going to know you've met the Lord. I've met people say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. If you get saved, you'll be sure. You'll know you've met God. How can you meet the creator of the universe and not know you've met him? How can you create the one that said, let there be light, and light appeared before the sun was ever created? How can you meet him and wonder if I don't know if I am or not. Better check up so you make sure you can check in one day when you get to heaven. And so we find, Paul says, he says, I know whom I believed. Me, personally. Paul gives his testimony more times than one. We can read the account of his salvation in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 8, chapter 9. We read what the Lord did with him. We read how he met the Lord, and he said, the Lord said, why persecute me? Why are you persecuting me, Saul? And Saul thought he was doing God a favor. Saul was a religious individual like 90% of Madisonville is this morning. Religious but don't know the Lord. Religious but don't know God. Religious, and if they die, they go to hell. Paul says, if I know it, if I've experienced, what's the old song? I can tell you about it because I was there. I was there when it happened. I was there when I got saved. I was there that night that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that. That's been a lot of years ago. I just turned 66 and I was 8 years old when I got saved. You do the subtraction, that's how many years. And so we find that when God comes in your heart, he deals with you. It's on a personal basis. Thank God for the help and the care of people that love you, and the Sunday school teachers and the preachers and the moms and dads and grandmothers and all that's involved. And God puts them all in our life so that one day you and I could one day come to him personally and say, I believe God, I trust the Lord. Well, there's some folks in my life that that I'll never forget. There's some folks in my family I'll never forget. There's some folks in my home church that I will never forget because they were instrumental in making it personal to me. They were instrumental that I one day could say, I got saved yesterday. I did that. First person I told was my school teacher. The next morning, I have no idea anything about her spiritual life, but she found out the next morning I got saved. She didn't have much to say about that, but I told her what had happened to me the night before. And so we find that salvation is a very personal thing, and I can know that. I can have that understanding in my heart. Philippians 3, 9, and 10, that's part of our lesson this morning. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said he's working on me. He's doing a work in my life that one day I'll be conformed even unto his death. And we can have that knowledge. We can be thought of as being ignorant and unlearned like the apostles were. But we can say one thing, I may not know what you know, but I know Jesus. I may not know all the understanding, all the learnings, and I may not have all the answers to the scientific facts and the question, but I know him. And you see, knowing him is more important than knowing about the universe. Knowing him is more important than knowing about the depths of the sea or the atmosphere or the outer space. All those things intrigue us, and all those things maybe bring about a desire to know more. But to know him is more important than all that, because one day I'm going to know all about those other things because I know him. Praise the Lord for his giving unto us. That knowing is a positive. I try to be an optimist. Boy, I have problems with that. I say, boy, that glass is about empty. Doesn't have too much water in it. That's sort of pessimistic. And optimists say, yeah, but you can drink what's there. And so we look at things through different views. But it's very, very positive this morning to say that I can know that from the Lord. Sometimes if something's going on, I always think the worst. Don't look at me strange, because you do too. We look at things as the worst. We always think about, well, this will probably happen. That'll happen. That'll take place. Now, sometimes that does. But more times than not, it does never get to the worst part. I'm glad this morning knowing the Lord is a positive thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him. I like that. We know that we know Him. And he's, John goes on and says, and if we keep His command, He has said, I know Him. And he says, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in Him. I'm in the Lord. He's in me. What a wonderful knowledge that is to have of eternity. Going to heaven is something we talk about, we try to avoid, but when we get there, we'll be okay. You say, what do you mean we try to avoid? When you get sick, you'll find out you try to avoid. Your body even tries to avoid dying. The process of dying in the human flesh is amazing. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to experience it, but the old body that God has given us desires to live. That's why suicide is so terrible. That's why abortion is so terrible, because that flesh wants to live. God made man a living soul. He breathed in him. He became a living soul. And that soul never dies, and the flesh was intended not to die, but because of sin, now it dies. But it doesn't want to. We don't desire that. And so Paul says, I know whom I have believed. You know who that is? That word whom? I know Jesus, whom I've believed. You can put the Lord's name there. It fits perfect. I know whom I have believed. It's a wonderful thing this morning that I can stand up here and you can sit down there, and we can come together around a fellowship table, or we can shake hands together and we can greet each other. And it's a wonderful thing and a wonderful privilege to be able to say, we're family. It's a wonderful thing to say that we are a part of each other because of what Christ has done for us. You see, there is a family of God that's named in heaven and in earth. Some of them's already gone, some of them's here. And we have that wonderful knowledge, that wonderful understanding that we have something, that privilege that I can be called a Christian, that I can believe in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He understood that it was Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul, as he writes to that Ephesian church, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. This world out here, these crazies out here that have no understanding of life and the issues of life and the sanctity of life, they have no understanding, they have no knowledge of the love of God or the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is that I can say, I know Him. What a privilege it is that we can meet together and say, how are you, brother? How are you, sister? Because we're in the same family. It doesn't matter what nationality we are. It doesn't matter what color our skin may be. It doesn't matter what language we may speak. It doesn't matter what country we may live. As a Christian, we're all going to the same place, and we're all going to be just like Him. Salvation's a wonderful thing. And Paul tells Timothy, he said, you don't have to fear, because we have this knowledge. You don't have to fear, because we've got power. We have the love. We have a sound mind. To know the king of the universe. Now, I know about our governor. I've never met him. But I know some things about him. There's a lot of things I like, and there are some things that I don't like as well as others. I know about him, but I don't know him. I know about the president, but I don't know him. I know about a lot of people, but I don't know them personally. But when I meet you out on the street or in Walmart, probably in Walmart more than anywhere else, when I meet you, I can say, I don't only know about you, but I know you. And I can come to your house, and we can have fellowship. I can call you if I need you. We can do things together. We can invite each other out for dinner. We're in a family that is a close-knit family because I know whom I have believed. I know whom we've trusted and who we've believed upon and has the promise of the Word of God. And Paul says, I'm persuaded. Persuaded. Have you ever been persuaded in something you wasn't sure about? Come to find out all you needed was just a little bit of persuasion. All you needed is a little bit of understanding. And Paul said, I'm persuaded in that. Paul said, I have that knowledge, that promise of eternal life. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Paul said, I'm persuaded that one day it's going to be better. This morning, I'll just have you, how many of you have some things going on in your life, your friends, your family, or even your flesh that you wish wasn't going on? All of us do, sure. But we have a promise that we have a life that's going to be better. If heaven is no better than earth, why go to heaven? If it's no better than where we are now, then why would God even offer it to us? If heaven is no better than our place that he has gone, why would he prepare us a place if it's no different and no better than this place? We've already got this place. So why do we need the same thing? But we have eternal life promised unto us. Paul said, I'm persuaded of that. Paul says, I have a persuasion in my heart and my mind that it's going to be okay. It's going to be better. Later on, as Paul writes in this same chapter here, Paul says, my departure's at hand. He said, I've finished my course. I've completed the task that God gave to me, Paul says, and so therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know what he was saying in that statement? Somewhere better. There's something better than what I have. Paul never had a crown, as far as we know, in this life. But I'll tell you what, he had many on the other side. And he says, I know whom I've believed in. I know whom I've trusted. And I'm persuaded, I know, that life eternal is far greater than what I have now. He said that, and then he says, I know he's able. One of the great studies of the Scriptures, go through the Bible and find out how able our God is. He is able. Can God set a table in the wilderness? Yeah, he was able to do that. Can God send water out of a rock? He was able to do that. Can God part the Red Sea? Sure he can. He's able. You can find so many things through the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament life, that God is able. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able. Paul says, I know that he can. I understand that he can. That he is able. What a powerful statement that is. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able, and here it is, to keep that which I've committed. Paul said, I gave him my life. I committed my life on the road to Damascus. And guess what? He's able to keep it till I get there. He's able to take care of me till life is over against that day. There are some people that teach there is no heaven or hell. They're going to wake up one day and they're going to realize how wrong they were. There are some people that teach and preach that everybody is going to heaven. They're going to find out one day how untrue that statement is. I wish I could remember what I read this morning. This past week we had a famous songwriter die. And I got something, I don't remember where it was from, but it talked about all the 59 or 58 that died in Las Vegas, and this songwriter, this singer, I can't remember his name, Tom Petty, and they said they're going to get together this morning, and he's going to sing to them in heaven. Everybody that dies, as far as the world's concerned, goes to heaven. That's not the case. I have no idea who or who did not and who did. But the Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself continually. But there's a day coming that is a permanent day. I'm going to stand before the Lord with everything I did and did not do. And I'm going to give an account. I'm going to be at that judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. That's for the believer. Thank God I'm not at the other judgment. The white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, that's for the unbeliever. They're going to cry and they say, Lord, did we not do many mighty works? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not prophesy in thy name? And Jesus said, I don't know you. So that tells me you can do good works and die and go to hell. What a shame. But Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We may have accusers here. We may have people that accuse us here and say, you're not right. You're not going to. How do you know you're going to? We have the mockers here, but I'll tell you, in that day, we'll be okay. Paul says, I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I gave to him in that day. When I stand before the Lord, I've got enough to answer for. I have no problems with anybody else. I've got all I can stand. But because I committed myself unto him one day, in that day, he'll say, enter in. Wonderful verse here this morning. I'm glad there's some things that I can know. I'm glad there's some things that I can experience. I'm glad there's some things I can share how great our Lord is. Paul was pretty positive in his life, and he was pretty positive in his message to this young preacher that literally was going to step in the shoes of Paul and continue on. He said, don't fear. You have the Spirit of the Lord, you have the love of God, you have the power of God, you have the Word of God, and one day we'll stand before Him. Thank God this morning it's a positive message that we have. I'm glad I don't have to use the world's language to attract the world. That still boggles my mind, Brother Gallagher. I'm glad I don't have to use vulgarity just to get somebody's attention. If I use vulgarity, I'm sure it gets somebody's attention. But it wouldn't be the right way. But to stand up and proclaim supposedly a message and use the trash talk of the world, the gutter language, how degrading that is to our Lord. I'm glad I know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let's stand together this morning.